Good morning. Our first scripture this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Romans. This from chapter 11 of Paul's letter. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of your disobedience, so they have now been disobedient in order that, by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience, so that he may be merciful to all. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew, as we've been reading throughout the summer. Today we find ourselves at Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28. If you'd like to follow along, you'll find it in your pew Bible on page 16. Hear this story. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As I was thinking about this scripture passage, the one specifically from Matthew, throughout this week, I kept coming back to an expression that I knew from when I was a kid. And it's not the greatest expression, but I think because it kept coming back that probably it was meant to be discussed. And that is, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And by the way that you finished that sentence, I know that you all have heard that. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. It's kind of an ironic expression because almost every time you say it, you're trying to make the point that in fact you can teach an old dog new tricks, and people too. And I think that's the lesson that God has for us from this scripture passage, and that is that Jesus Christ learned a new trick in this interchange with the Canaanite woman, and perhaps so should we. Well, what do I mean by that when I talk about Jesus learning a new trick? Well, let's take a look and think about that scripture passage. In the beginning of this passage, Jesus is moving north. He's going into the region of Tyre and Sidon. Now, whenever you read the Gospels, you recognize very quickly that Jesus was crystal clear about what he was about. He was laser on his mission. Now, just as John the Baptist said, so too Jesus Christ said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, the point of all this was that God was now doing something that was completely different from the way God interacted with people in the Hebrew Bible. That Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of what God had promised throughout those millennia before. That Jesus was the fulfillment of the covenant that God had made with the people of the house of Israel. And that Jesus, in his arrival on this earth, was the herald of God's kingdom, but also the very beginning of God's kingdom. Well, we find him here in the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he is approached. He's actually accosted by this woman from Cana, a Canaanite. It doesn't take too long of reading through the Bible where you understand that Canaanite is a code word that means Gentile. In the first century, there were Jews and there were everybody else. So this Canaanite woman was the other. This was a non-Jewish person. And everybody who heard the story recognized this was somebody else from the wrong side of the proverbial tracks. Well, this woman comes to Jesus and asks for his help. And what we hear is a response from Jesus that is atypical of who we know Jesus to be. This is not the Jesus that we know and love. The first thing he does is to simply ignore her. He knows that he came to earth in order to save the children of the house of Israel, and she's certainly not one of those, so he's not even going to mess around with her. The disciples get so uncomfortable because she keeps yelling and drawing attention to them that they say, "Lord, send her away. You don't have to deal with this." They ask him to show her really who's boss. But her response is to kneel at Jesus' feet and to say, "Lord, help me." Again, in an un-Jesus-like reaction, his point is to refer to her as a dog. And this was a derogatory comment right at her face. Because on the street, the word dog is the way the Jews referred to the Gentiles. Well, she is a good mother. How many of you have children? Is there anything you wouldn't do for your children in order to heal them or to bring them back to health? Probably not. Just like this Canaanite woman, she was ready to do whatever it took to help her daughter back home. And so she kneels and comes with this retort back to Jesus that just completely throttled him. She said, "Yes, Lord, that's true. The dogs don't deserve the bread, but certainly even a dog should get the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Jesus is blown away. His only response is to say, "Woman, you have such great faith, it will be done as you are asking." And immediately her daughter was healed. Well, I believe that this represents an important watershed event in the ministry of Jesus Christ. I think this is a time when everything changed. I think Jesus saw this woman in a completely new light, and now he saw his ministry and his mission in a completely new light. "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." But now, after his interchange with this Canaanite woman, Jesus recognized that his message of salvation was for everyone, Jews and Gentiles alike. And it's rather ironic, because just about a week before this story, Jesus was there feeding the 5,000 people. He was providing abundant bread and fish to anybody who wanted it. And yet here in this story, he is arguing for mere crumbs for the dogs. Our God is a God of abundance. Our God loves us unconditionally and forever. God's grace knows no limits. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." But Jesus now saw the world through completely different eyes because of that opportunity he had to speak to the woman of Cana. And so maybe, just maybe, an old dog can learn new tricks. And I believe, my brothers and sisters, that so can we. As Christian people, and specifically as United Methodist people, we also are crystal clear about what it is that we're about. We are clear about what is our mission. We are called to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Now, likely we could argue for hours about how the best way is that we make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, but the point is that God does not make a distinction between you and you and you and me. We are all called into ministry to make disciples of Jesus Christ, to try to bring about the change of this earth. And we are called then to find our specific role in that ministry. Each of us is called to play our part. And I take very seriously my role in making disciples of Jesus Christ. As your pastor, I recognize that it is my responsibility to enlarge the church both from within and as well as outside these church walls. When I talk about from within, each of us is at a different stage in our walk with Jesus Christ. Each of us has a different level of spiritual maturity. And it's my job to try to preach and teach and encourage you to stretch your spiritual and theological wings so that you can fly with the Holy Spirit. But I think that that is making disciples of Christ from within. Now, something that I believe very fervently and something that many of you have talked to me about is our need to bring in new disciples of Jesus Christ in order to grow this church. It's absolutely what we are about. If we don't do this, if we don't grow this church, if we don't find new, perhaps younger members as well, there will no doubt come a day, sometime in the distant future, when we have all died off and Burns Memorial United Methodist Church is no more. They lock the door and throw away the key. Now, that's not happening anytime soon. And I know for a fact that God has more important things in store for this church than that pessimistic future. That's not the way it's going to go. But I do know also that we need to figure out how it is that we will grow this church. Two things that I will stress for all of us. One, we should never, ever forget our dual mission of bringing new disciples of Jesus Christ. We need to grow ourselves from within. All of us can be better disciples of Christ, and we need to grow ourselves from without of these walls. The second thing that's a given in my mind is that we need to be who we are. We need to be authentically who God has called us to be, and we need to figure out, starting from the base that we have right now, how we can stay who we are and yet grow this church. When you think about our times in the 21st century, there's not a lot of things that you can say with any assurance are givens. But there are three things of which I am absolutely positive, three things I can guarantee to you, and those are death, taxes, and change. The world is changing at a pace faster than any of us can keep up with. I am not advocating change for change's sake. I am advocating that as the world moves, as we desire to grow this church, we may very well need to change in order to keep true to our mission of making disciples of Jesus Christ. This past year, as many of you well know, the representatives from churches throughout the world, the United Methodist Church, met in Fort Worth, Texas for the annual conference, the general conference that meets once every 4 years. The theme of that general conference was a church with hope. That's so important that our district superintendent has set that as the theme for our church conference in December. That is also what we were about, because absolutely, Burns Memorial United Methodist Church is and will continue to be a church with hope. Also this past summer, in the Pacific Northwest, the Western jurisdiction met, all the churches in the Western United States, in order to elect bishops. They also had a theme for their conference that will now translate into a theme for our church as well. In order to grow disciples of Jesus Christ, they said that we need extravagant hospitality. Think about that. If there's not a more wonderful description of what Jesus is about, we, as Christians, are about extravagant hospitality. But it still raises the question of how do we grow this church? And what the heck am I asking of you this morning? I'm asking of every one of you here this morning three things. First, I'm asking that you take a wild leap of faith, that you look into the future and you try to imagine what we can be as children of God, how this church will look in the future. I want you to look into the future and have a vision for who we can be. And I want you to write those ideas down. I want you to talk to me, to each other. I want you to think about how we would implement those changes, perhaps, in order to be the best church we can be. The meeting that's in the bulletin on the 27th, a good first step. I want you to have the courage to look into the future. Second of all, I want you to be willing to take a role right now in that future. And yep, this is your pastor. It's just the right time of year when the pastor struts out here and says, you got to join committees. But it's not just about committees. I want you to find the best role that you can play in the running and operation of this church and in the ministries of this church. Now, I've heard it from all of you, many of you. I've already done it. I've served on a committee. I've been in the church education program, and I thank you very much. But God's love doesn't take a break. God's ministry doesn't say, I've already done it, I'm not going to do it again. I'm asking you to bolster your enthusiasm and be willing again to help out in this church, to find your authentic role as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Allow yourself the joy of being part of the leadership of this church. And finally, the third thing that I'm asking of each of you is to have the courage to experiment with change. Starting in September, I'm going to experiment with all four scripture readings in every service. Not all of all four scripture readings, but I want us to expose ourselves more fully to the entire biblical story. I want us to experiment with music, with different forms of prayer, with liturgical dance. Again, not change for change's sake, but let us together experiment with ways that we can better and more authentically praise God, and how we can better and more authentically serve God. And so what I'm asking of you today is the willingness to try new things. In light of this scripture passage, I believe that all of us, old dogs as well as young, may well be at a stage where we need to learn some new tricks. I think it's time that we change our perspective if we get serious about growing this church, if we take honestly the call that Christ is calling us to, that we be willing to think about different ways. Jesus' mission did not change, and neither will ours. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. We are called to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Let us not be satisfied with mere crumbs for the dogs, but rather let us work for abundant bread
for all people, the bread of life. Amen.